Welcome to Smarten Up, the show where we demystify the complex world of tax and provide practical business insights. I'm your host, Sally Preston. As a business owner, I know how frustrating it can be when it seems hard to access understandable information, particularly when the topic is as complex as the tax law. So in this podcast, we will explore topics to help you make smarter decisions when it comes to your business taxes, which will ultimately benefit your bottom line. Whether you are starting up in business or have been in business for years, this podcast aims to become an essential part of your financial toolkit. Welcome to Smarten Up, the Tax and Business Podcast. My name is Sally Preston and I'll be your host. And today I have Ellie Murdoch with me again. Hey, Ellie.
Hey, Sally. Thanks. It's great to be here again.
And in this episode, we're going to talk about one of the key pillars to your business success, budgeting and forecasting. So it's now April and the end of the financial year is coming close. So it's the time of year where there's a few housekeeping items for your finances and taxes. So the 31st of March marked the end of the fringe benefits tax year. So that means it's now time to contact your advisor if you've not already heard from them to gather the information you need to complete your FBT return. And we've talked about fringe benefits tax in another podcast. April also marks the start of budgeting season for the 2025 financial year. So some of you might be thinking, well, that seems really early. But as an accountant and a board member, I can tell you that unless you have a stable budget, business as usual, maybe you're happy with your profitability, then it's not too early to start budgeting. Because when setting a budget, it's often not as simple as rolling forward last year's numbers and adding, say, 5%. So, well, I mean, that could be a starting point, but that's not really what you need to be doing when you're setting your budget. So I want to clarify a couple of different terms for this podcast today. So the term budget. Now, this outlines your planned revenue and expenses, allowing you to allocate funds and set financial targets over a defined period. Typically, it's quarterly or annually, but we'll say we're talking today about annually. Then we're going to use the term forecast. Now, this involves predicting future financial trends based on historical data, so providing a more realistic view of your business and its financial performance. So cash flow forecasting in particular is crucial to managing your bills and demonstrating your financial stability to lenders. So that gives you the rundown of budget forecast. We're going to use those terms today. So Ellie, why do you reckon we should budget?
Well, there's a few reasons, but first and foremost, it provides goals and directions. So budgets enable businesses to set realistic financial goals and benchmarks, providing a roadmap for measuring success and progress. It also helps you make better business decisions. So armed with a well-defined budget, managers can make informed decisions regarding investments, expansions, and cost-saving measures. It can also provide accountability, so budgets serve as a yardstick for evaluating performance. By comparing actual results against budgeted figures, businesses can identify variances and take corrective actions promptly. And it's also important if you need or use finance in your business. So I can provide a few examples of business outcomes that might arise when you don't have a budget in place. So say you have a customer that asks for a new service. You do up a quote based on the known direct costs plus the profit margin you would like. But if you don't understand the variable business overheads, then overall this job may actually produce a loss. So why quote at all? Another example is a business owner might see cash in the bank, and it's amazing to see such a healthy balance. However, without considering what is planned for that cash, things can quickly slip and spending increases or a capital asset is acquired with the cash. And before you know it, there's not enough cash flow to pay the bills.
Good one.
Another one is the head of a division might approach you and request a new employee or piece of equipment. So without a budget, how can you actually understand the impact of that on your profitability by the end of the financial year? Now, budget can also help eliminate wasteful spending. When you don't have a budget in place, you might overspend on certain areas. So this includes things such as discretionary spending. That's things like professional development that doesn't directly link to profitability, and also travel and accommodation costs where a Teams meeting might have sufficed instead of the accommodation and flights that you've
Seen that a bit, haven't we? So a couple of those ones, the professional development where you think that's a great idea to offer that. But I think you're right. It's that Is it needed? You know, if your budget's tight, is it needed? And sometimes it is to keep your employees happy or even to help you progress the business. But in other times, it's a nice to have rather than a must have. And I think if the budget's tight, it is one of those areas we can sit there and scratch our heads and go, why are you still spending on that when you can't pay your rent? And that travel and accommodation, I think COVID's made a big difference to the way we interact with our customers and take opportunities. And maybe it's great to be able to travel and go and see people face to face, but it is a bit of a luxury spend with we've got things like Teams and Zoom phone calls face to face. And a lot of people actually prefer it. So maybe it is time to look at that travel and accommodation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so another one that we see as well sometimes is salary and wages. Particularly when there isn't a current business need for the number of staff or level of experience at this stage in your business, or it might be down the track, but if you're not sure without a budget, you can't really know.
Yeah, well, can we just clarify though, Ellie? I do need you. You're not a nice to have. You're a nice to have, but you, I do need you.
A must have?
Yeah, you're a bit of a must have. Non-negotiable.
And also IT systems that are above what the business actually needs at stage in its life cycle, particularly where you're anticipating more growth than what's actually realistic.
We see a bit of that in the accounting space, don't we? Or in the people overcooking what they need in their financial systems.
That's it. There's so many systems available at the moment. It's also overwhelming to know what you actually need and don't need. And a lot of people just dive straight in. And
And I think that there's some amazing salespeople out there. And if you're a salesperson, then kudos to you. You're very good at your job. But I think the best salesperson's the one that's also realistic and goes, this isn't the customer I should be selling to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm going to be overselling and they'll hate me in 12 months' time and they realise their budget couldn't have afforded it. Or they just didn't need the capability they were buying into.
Yeah.
And a business owner that might not know. So we see it a bit in that space. And I'm notorious for onboarding any new IT system. And I feel like mine have all been good spends so far, but I'm sure you'll let me know when I've overspent on IT and it wasn't necessary.
Yeah. And then another interesting one is when businesses develop a new asset or product, so often there's minimal planning on how they'll fund the idea and how they eventually will profit from it, or if at all. So if this is not done correctly, that can actually lead to severe financial consequences for the business.
Yeah, so let's talk about it in a bit more detail, because you are an R&D expert. So you are constantly looking at a lot of the way people innovate and develop new technologies and ideas.
Yeah.
I imagine we'd see if we were involved with those people and looking at how they've costed their spend and how much they're spending on things, we'd see a lot of blowouts.
Yeah, you would see a lot of blowouts as well. And I think as well as not actually knowing how to fund or planning on how to gain funding for your project as well. If you don't set yourself up properly from the beginning because you don't have a budget, you don't actually, you might miss out on accessing some government incentives as well as like R&D we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that is true. Like if you're in the wrong structure, you can't access R&D. So if you're in a company to get R&D tax incentive. The other thing is that without understanding, so, you know, I'm not really an inventive person, so I'm probably talking off the cuff and there's a surprise. So I think that a good idea doesn't always commercialize. So what you think is a good idea, develop it to the point that you haven't overspent, and then make sure when it's sort of in that more formal, when you understand it a bit better, then have a look at how you're going to make money off it. Because just because it's a great idea doesn't mean it's a good business idea. And I think that that's where the two get confused, where the price point at which you can sell it for to make a profit's too high for the customer base. The need in the market is not as good as, you know, if they're not going to pay that for it.
Yeah.
So you need to then step in and do your budget on that project and then do it on the deliverable and go, how much and how long does it take me for return on investment? Putting $2 million into some R&D that's going to take you 20 years to see the $2 million profit come back, that's a lot of investment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that we'd probably have that quite a bit. And I'm hoping that people will be shelving ideas before they overinvest in them and realize it's not going to come to fruition.
Yeah, absolutely. And then without a budget, not knowing at what point you should actually pause the project.
It's tough to do.
Yeah.
So how would you start with budgeting and forecasting?
So first of all, you would understand your drivers. So what has the most influence on your business, depending on the industry you're operating in? So for example, a transportation business might be impacted by fuel prices, award wages, and availability of skilled staff, or which is very relevant at the moment.
Yep.
Second, you need to understand the cash flow nature of the business. So do customers pay within 30 days every month or on a subscription basis or whenever they feel like it? How do you pay? What are the bills due to come in and when? And is their capital expenditure planned? And how does this fit in? another cycles in a business year, so just things like that.
Yep.
Also be flexible and continuously monitor. So always keep the set budget as a baseline, but adjust as the business changes. It might be that the budget was exceeded in one aspect 2 months in a row, so maybe it's time to review where the spending needs to be cut back and communicate the new budget with the team. And it's also good to have the original budget still there to compare against how you're tracking. Also start with good numbers. So with the right technology and people at the helm of your financial data, your file should be up to date on a daily or weekly basis. Mm. And then lastly, communicate. Collaborate with your team on setting the budget as they may have different insights into upcoming expenditure, expected payroll changes, client and customer attitudes. And communicating and collaborating can also get the team to take more accountability for the budget.
I agree. I think if you're leading at the top and you're pushing the budget against, sometimes you might have to, but I think it's part of that buy-in. If you say to people, we're cutting the budget on, I don't know, some aspect that is crucial to them and their happiness, then maybe that's something you should know before you push the budget out, having a discussion with them first. Or maybe they're the ones that are talking to your customers or clients more than you, and they know the client's appetite for fee increases or for less services or whatever it is that you're doing when you're setting that budget. So I think that they're amazing points. So let's talk about it in a little bit more detail. So now we're going to get into Accountant 101 Nerd Speak. So we've given you some high-level budgeting tips. Now let's talk about how do we go about it. Let's talk about the profit and loss. So first of all, in your accounting file, make sure it's up to date before you even get started. If you're using Excel, then maybe it's time to automate, because I can tell you something like a Xero platform is going to change your world if you're still trying to use Excel. Actually, I had a client the other day just give me the download from their bank statement, and I went, oh, dear. Sorry. Don't do that. Step one, when we're looking at our profit and loss budget for the year. So review the revenue. So what revenue that you have, what part of it's recurring? And what was one-off? What happened last year? What happened maybe even the year before? So maybe you have long-term contracts and you know roughly what your income is going to be, but maybe you do a lot of bespoke work. So maybe you have more trouble forward predicting. So we do a fair bit of bespoke work, we would call it. So in our field, that means that we do a lot of one-off advisory, probably more than the average accounting firm. So we would have more trouble predicting where our revenue is going to come from. But historical data can be therefore very useful in giving you insights into this. So use the data and view it and help use that data to then set your revenue budget for the year. So you might look back more than 1 year, but you also need to think about changes in trading conditions. That's your revenue. That's your income line. Now, one of the key tricks is not to overcook the revenue, because it's easy to be ambitious and think that you're going to do a certain amount. But if the rest of your budget's relying on that revenue, then it could all come unstuck very quickly. The second key one, which is the one that most people would think about when they're budgeting, is expenses. So look at the year-to-date spend. So we're in April now, March, 31 March year-end. Books should be all up to date. Now look at what you spent year to date. So the easiest, the low-hanging fruit is to include the recurring expenditure like the fixed costs. So straight away you know what you spend on rent, phone, internet, maybe a standard compulsory piece of software. You probably have recurring expenses like that. That would go into your budget. And there's often not much change in those numbers. So they're the easy ones to populate. But just don't set and forget. There might be an increase coming, maybe you're actually overpaying for some of those things. And we all know with telephone companies and electricity providers, they're all telling us they can do a better deal for us. So maybe it's time to look at that. But then you need to budget for your sundry costs. And that might not even have a name beside it. It might simply be sundry. It's the things that you don't think about or don't know about. And so they get factored in. Then there's the cost of debt repayments, capital expenditure, and payroll. So you need to have a look at how your business is financed. And again, it's like that shop around. Is your bank financing you in the best way possible? So we tend to set and forget with banks. But the interest rates, as we've seen recently, are ever-changing. And if your budget's simply hemorrhaging because of interest, then maybe it is time to have a chat with some different banks or a good broker. Payroll. Now, that's often people's one of their biggest expense lines. So it's good to understand what the rest of the industry is doing. And there is benchmark data available to understand what payroll is like with your competitors. So have a look at their payroll, or the common benchmark for payroll. Compare it to your year-to-date and the prior year's payroll. Now, if it's different or significantly different, then you'd want to understand why. I'm not saying you've got too many staff. Maybe you don't actually have enough. Maybe you're putting pressure. Maybe it's causing high turnover. There's a whole bunch of information that you can get from doing a research into that part of your business. Then there's the capital expenditure. So you need to review the equipment and capital needs of the business. So is there equipment that's really becoming outdated and is going to need to either a lot more maintenance or it needs to be replaced? That needs to go into your budget. Even though it's not going to sit in your P&L necessarily, if you're buying it, it's going to sit on the balance sheet, it's still a cash number that needs to be taken into account. So make sure you have a look at your capital expenditure needs. So once you've looked at your revenue, you've got your expenses, look at the outcome. Now, this is just the first iteration. If you get your budget and nail it the first time, I'm going to be surprised, because generally you're going to look at it and be either horrified or wonder why you're going to make so much money when you never have in the past. So it's usually one of two, and then you need to go and revisit it again. And maybe it's time to bring other people to the table to go, what's missing or what have I overdone here? And so maybe there's some cost cutting, maybe there's some revenue adjustment to have a look at. All right, that's just your profit and loss. And I know that's what a lot of people focus on. But we want to talk about the balance sheet. So the balance sheet's the record of the assets and liabilities of the business. So this is often overlooked when budgeting happens, because it's a bit harder to budget for. But what it is it's actually going to show you whether you are thriving or dying in your business. So if you owe more than you own, then you may have some serious issues. Why? Well, any downturn in profitability where you own, and if you own more than you owe, you have options. You know, for example, you might sell some assets. There might be some cost cutting you can do. You might even be able to sell the whole business because it might actually be worth something. But if you owe more than you own and there's a downturn in profitability, how do you get yourself out of that hole? That's a really sticky situation. So now what? You've started with a high-level review of the organization-wide budget, but for a larger business, you may need to break this down to a divisional or operational basis as well. So for example, say you have a lot of employees, you might need to break down the amount you've budgeted for salaries and wages on a per-person basis. That's going to help make sure you've got the right headcount for the expected revenue generation. Have you factored in that you might need to increase the number of people you've got in the business to generate the revenue you've predicted? Now, if you've gone with increased revenue and you rely on people to generate that revenue and you've increased payroll, but maybe, for example, you've gone up and the increase in revenue is not one whole person. So have you factored in those jumps that you have in expenditure? So sometimes we have to hire, for example, or spend money to facilitate the serviceability of our clients or servicing them. But we haven't always factored in that when we hire someone full-time, we don't always have the revenue to cover that wage. So there's a few things around payroll and employees that you really need to start having a look at what that means on a headcount basis rather than a holistic X number of dollars basis at the organization level. So another way of looking at a divisional level in your organization, so I'll give you an example of a transport business. You might have only budgeted a certain amount for repairs and maintenance, but when you go to give that budget to the repairs and maintenance division, the maintenance manager might know that there's significantly higher level of maintenance costs expected in the next year, or maybe you had a big year just gone and it's going to be lower. So what it might mean is that it puts you in a really difficult situation where you actually can't sell your business and even clear your debts. And it's not a situation to be in. So it's really important that you don't forget to review your liabilities, including the longer term ones, and consider what the actual value of your assets are. Because that's not necessarily reflective of the actual value of them. For example, you might have a piece of equipment that you've got valued at $5,000, but maybe really no one would pay you $5,000 or it would cost you $20,000 if you had to buy a new one. So it is important to understand what is on the balance sheet when it comes to that budgeting. And then there's forecasting and cash flow. So the P&L budget and the current balance sheet can actually be used to create a three-way forecast. So this is a cash flow, P&L and balance sheet forecast that can tell you where you will stand in the future should the assumptions come true. Now, it's only as good as you can make those assumptions. So often we do more than one scenario when we're doing a forecast. So this modeling can be used for that. Just what if? What if my revenue grew by 5% versus grew by 2%? Or what if I had to give, I gave pay rises to staff at 4% rather than 2%? What does that do? What if I hired a key staff member or a staff member I thought, maybe a CFO? Does it take all the hassle away? Or does it just eat up your profit? So it's all those sort of situations that when you get into forecasting, you can really start to look at the impact of your business. Now, I know it sounds amazing and it really is, but there's not an easy way to prepare that without the right tools and or people to do it for you. So the main reason why it's so important to do this though is to predict cash flow. The revenue and expenses are just that. They do not represent cash flow. So what goes into the bank and out of the bank can be very different from what your profit and loss tells you. Plus, there's capital expenditure that's not including your revenue expenses, which can really have a huge impact on cash.
Well, that's a great point, Sally. Have you heard the term cash is king? Well, it certainly is. We heard on an earlier podcast from Mitchell Herrett that the inability to pay your debts when they fall due can indicate we'll be trading insolvently. So this should be every business owner's nightmare.
Agree.
So cash flow forecasting will enable you to predict what is in the bank at any given time. And this is where the understanding of cash timing for your business is really important. Review your debtor days. This is the average time for your clients or customers to pay. This can be used to determine when your revenue turns into cash. The same for your creditor days. When should the bills be paid? For many, this is fortnightly or monthly. Model when they should be paid to get into the best practice of paying on time. And using your creditors as a bank is definitely not best practice.
No, really. You'd think that they might get a little bit upset if you stop paying bills to people, right? And they do.
Yeah. And then apply some parameters to the model, such as what if a large customer is lost or you need to change a supplier and the input price goes up? Then you'll see the impact on your cash flow. And that way you can start to plan for some scenarios if they are likely and do occur. Yeah. So what is the saying? Failing to plan is planning to fail.
That's true.
This is true for your business finances.
Yeah, so true. So I guess the message is, if you don't have a budget, do one and start now so it's ready to go for 1 July, even though it's April, and then move this into a three-way forecast that you can adjust to predict what lies ahead based on the factors that can impact your business performance and profitability. So hopefully we've given you a bit more insights into budgeting. We've given you a bit of a checklist and things to go through. We've scared you a little bit with where it can, you know, discretionary spend can go off the rails and things to be mindful of. And if you need any help, of course, just reach out to us or reach out to your advisors. So thanks so much again, Ellie.
Yeah, thanks, Ellie. Always a pleasure to join.
Yeah, great. And thank you all for listening, and we will speak to you on the next podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Smarten Up Tax and Business. I hope you found the information valuable as you navigate your entrepreneurial journey. If you did, please leave us a review and share the podcast with your fellow business owners. Remember, what we've talked about today is not a substitute for getting formal advice from an accountant or lawyer that is more specific to your circumstances. But knowledge is power when it comes to getting your taxes right, and it can also save you a buttload of money too.